Hello and welcome to the programme. I'm Daniela Lazarova and we begin with the news. The Czech government on Friday survived a vote of no confidence in the lower house despite losing its parliamentary majority earlier this week. Although the withdrawal of the Christian Democratic Party left the government of Social Democrats and the Freedom Union with only 80 votes in the 200-member lower house, it survived the no-confidence motion thanks to indirect support from the communists who abstained in the vote. The no-confidence vote was supported by 78 deputies from the right-wing Civic Democratic Party and the Christian Democrats. The Social Democrats, the Freedom Union and the Communists either voted against the motion or abstained. Addressing the lower house before the vote, the Prime Minister indicated a certain degree of flexibility towards the Communist Party, saying that he did not scorn anyone who had a mandate from voters. However, he said the cabinet would not deviate from its policy program or accept any conditions regarding ministerial posts or power sharing. Mr. Gross said the country's favorable economic results spoke for themselves and that he had not begged anyone for support. Although the Gross government survived Friday's vote of no confidence, the next few days are expected to bring a cabinet reshuffle. All three Christian Democrat ministers handed in their resignations on Thursday. Although President Václav Klaus has not yet officially accepted their resignations, the Prime Minister says he has addressed new candidates for the posts of Foreign, Transport and Environment ministers. They are Social Democrat MP Radko Martínek for the post of Environment Minister, the head of the Czech delegation to the EU, Jan Kohout, for the post of Foreign Minister, and the director of the Transportation Fund, Pavel Švagr, for the post of Transport Minister. Several other ministers in the Gross government have said they would resign from their posts if the government is forced to rely on the communists for support. The rule of a minority government after the Christian Democrats' departure from the coalition is seen by economic analysts as the worst possible solution to the current political crisis. According to the CTK news agency, they are afraid that a government with only minority support in parliament will be unable to push through crucial economic reforms. They believe that the fall of the government and early elections or the forming of a majority cabinet would have been more favourable alternatives for the country. Future. Moving on to other news now, the Czech Central Bank cut its key interest rate by a quarter of a point to 2.0% on Thursday, a spokesman for the bank has said. The cut had been widely expected and brings rates in line with the Eurozone, which the Czech Republic plans to join in 2010. The bank last cut rates in January. I'm Daniela Lazarova, and that's the end of the news.
You're tuned to Radio Prague's English Language Service, and I'm Dita Asiru. In today's program, the fate of the government takes a new turn as it survives a vote of no confidence in Parliament. The latest developments in the Czech world of business and finance, and an exhibition looking back at the Prague Spring of 1968 and the Soviet-led occupation that followed. And in this week's Arts, we visit a new Cubist cafe at Prague's House of the Black Madonna and look at how next year is designated as the Mozart Year 2006. Stay tuned. The Czech Prime Minister Stanislav Gross survived a no-confidence vote on Friday thanks to the tacit support of communist deputies who abstained from voting. The Social Democrats will now lead a minority government as the Christian Democrats, a junior party in the governing coalition, left the government protest earlier this week. I'm joined now by Martin Mikula, who's been following the developments in Parliament. Now, Martin, how easy was it for the government to survive?
Well, it wasn't easy at all, even though there were only 78 MPs out of 200 voting for no confidence. The government survived only due to communist deputies who abstained from the vote, actually. Even though the communists had seemed likely to abstain on Thursday, it was not clear until the very end whether they all would vote as one man. The communist MP Ransdorf actually confirms how uneasy it was for the communists not to not to overthrow the government.
I have to say that it is no support for the Prime Minister, no support for social democracy, no support for the government. It is only the question of winning time for reshaping the left, reshaping political scene in Czech Republic to prevent the dominance of the new coalition of centrist and right-wing forces. So it is the choice for lesser evil.
Some of them also said, some of the communist deputies also said that it would depend on the prime minister's speech whether they abstain or whether they would vote against the government.
So what did the prime minister say in his speech that convinced the communists to abstain?
Well, I think the prime minister actually didn't say anything particularly friendly for the Communist Party. His speech was rather a summary of the successes of the government. He praised namely the high growth of GDP and the amount of foreign investments in the Czech Republic. He generally refused the economic criticism of the Civic Democrats and said that the current conflict is rather a reflection of two policy concepts, one based on solidarity and the other one promoting the rights of elites. And I think particularly by stressing this concept of solidarity element, he actually tried at least not to offend the communists.
So what's going to be happening next? It seems like Stanislav Gross is set on continuing with the government, continuing with the policy, with or without the coalition partners.
Well, it might seem that the government is going to continue in its policy, but it is necessary to bear in mind that this government will be a minority government and that it will be much harder for them to push through any decisions. Actually, the Social Democratic chairman of the parliament, Lubomír Zaorálek, is also aware of this.
We have to create new methods of moving in Chamber of Deputy now, but it's clear that it's something new what we start now, but I'm convinced that what is stable is our program. We have to keep our priorities, and I am convinced that we are able to find a way how to communicate in parliament with all other parliamentary parties and to keep our coalition program.
And apart from that, a number of ministers and government deputies are not quite happy with the tacit support of the communists. They say they will see in the future whether, and they will decide according to the particular situation, whether they actually stay in the government or whether they will resign. So we might still see a lot of turmoil in Czech policy in the coming months.
Martin, thanks a lot for that.
Vážení priatelia, napriek streľbe a napriek citovému pohnutiu, ktoré všetci prežívame, zachovajte kľud.
Czechoslovak radio broadcasting on August the 21st, 1968, from a building under siege by Russian tanks. The invasion of Czechoslovakia by the troops of five Warsaw Pact countries put a brutal end to the democratization process in Czechoslovakia that became known as the Prague Spring. An exhibition currently on display in Prague looks back at the events 37 years ago. Pavla Horáková was at the opening.
A black and white documentary combining amateur video and official footage of the events in the streets of Prague in August 1968 is part of the exhibition shown this month at the Police Museum in Prague. Lists of people killed and injured, photographs, newspapers of the day, army uniforms and personal accounts all bear testimony to the few optimistic months of 1968 and all hope being crushed by Warsaw Pact troops. One of the institutions that participated in the exhibition is the Office for the Documentation and Investigation of the Crimes of Communism. Its director, Irenej Kratochvíl, explains how the exhibition came about.
The idea originated 3 years ago in Warsaw at a conference organized by the Polish counterpart of our office. We were, of course, invited, and we thought it would be good to show the Czech public the Polish side also.
The Polish Institute of National History has contributed a lot of material, including some black and white footage of the self-immolation of a Polish man in protest of the Polish involvement in the invasion of Czechoslovakia. I asked the Polish ambassador to the Czech Republic, Andrzej Krawczyk, whether the participation of his country in the Prague exhibition can be understood as an apology.
There is a whole movement in Poland nowadays that I am proud as a Pole, as a Polish citizen. I think that there is a sign of health moral, that we have the feeling that we must again and again say about it, concern about it, say we apologize, and there is the warning for the future.
Poland is the only country of the five 1968 invaders that is showing its side of the story at the Prague exhibition.
There is a very difficult and maybe unpolite to say on behalf of other countries. I can say from the general human point of view that there is a trauma, and I think for every normal human being there is a trauma be occupant, and every normal human being, I use such category, to account with such events. On the other hand, I understand that there are various ways for this accounting, and I think each nation, each man must choose the proper way.
Pavla Horáková with that report. And with a roundup of the week's top business news, here's Brian Kennedy.
Thanks, Dita. The big news of the week, of course, Telefónica of Spain is the probable new owner of the Czech fixed-line operator Český Telecom. However, a final decision will not be announced until after the results of Friday's no-confidence vote in the Prime Minister, Stanislav Gross, and there is still a remote possibility that the state could choose to sell its majority stake on the capital markets. The Spanish telco was revealed to be the highest bidder in the privatization tender for Český Telecom this week, with an unexpectedly high bid of 82.6 billion crowns, the equivalent to over 3.5 billion US dollars. The next highest bidder, Swisscom, had offered 79.2 billion crowns, followed by Belgacom and a consortium that included France Telecom, which each bid roughly 67 billion crowns. The Czech Minister of Finance, Bohuslav Sobotka, has reportedly advised the cabinet to approve the sale of the state's 51% stake in Český Telecom to Telefónica next week. Some members of the main opposition Civic Democrats have pointed out that although the Spanish bid was higher than anticipated, it is roughly the same amount, 3.5 billion US dollars, that Britain's Vodafone recently paid for Oscar Mobile, the smallest of the three mobile operators on the Czech market. Meanwhile, Český Telecom, which is debt-free, is the 100% owner of the largest mobile operator here, Eurotel. In related news, the lower house of parliament this week approved a law that would dismantle the Czech Republic's privatization agency by the end of the year. If approved by the Senate and ratified by President Václav Klaus, the law would have the finance ministry take over the government's remaining privatization agenda as of 2006. The National Property Fund holds stakes in state-owned companies on behalf of the government and organizes privatization tenders, including Český Telecom. Meanwhile, the Senate has rejected the Civic Democrats' proposed squeeze-out revision to the commercial code that would have allowed holders of 90% or more in a company to force minority shareholders to sell them their shares. The rejected proposal also contained provisions for speeding up company registration. Also this week, the ruling Social Democrats have agreed on a basic plan for rent deregulation, which the Deputy Development Minister said should be finalized within a year's time and conform to the European Court of Justice's requirements, including landlords' right to make a profit. The decision comes on the heels of a ruling in favor of Poland's landlords by the Strasbourg-based European Court of Human Rights. Apart from the Český Telecom privatization, the other major development of the week was that the Czech Central Bank moved to cut a key interest rate by a quarter of a point on Thursday to 2.0%, which is the same level as that of the European Central Bank and brings the Czech Republic closer in line with Eurozone practices. The cut had been widely expected following a similar move earlier in the week by the Hungarian Central Bank in reaction to forecasts of reduced growth throughout Central Europe. The Czech Central Bank already cut rates in January, lowering the two-week repo rate again by a quarter of a percentage point to 2.25%. President Václav Klaus appointed several new members to the Czech National Bank Board this year, and the new Central Bank Board is considered to be more pro-business than the last, and more concerned about the impact of a strong crown on the domestic industry than over inflationary pressures. The Czech currency has adjusted slightly to the news, with it trading at under 30 euros and over 23 US dollars for the first time in over half a year. Analysts say another cut rate is unlikely unless the crown drops to 29.50 to the euro.
Brian Kennedy there with the business news. And before Martin Mikula joins us with this week's arts, here's a quick reminder of Radio Prague's listeners' competition, which is once again underway. To enter, just send us a few sentences on the very easy subject of what Czech beer means to you. The winner will receive a week's stay for two in the Czech Republic, while runners-up will receive other attractive prizes. The winning answer will be broadcast on Radio Prague. You'll be accommodated in family style in the heart of Prague at the Hotel Falkensteiner Maria Prague, and your flight will be courtesy of Czech Airlines, your travel partner to the Czech Republic. Please send your entries to the following address before June 15th, Radio Prague, Vinohradská 12, 12099 Prague to the Czech Republic, or send us an email to cr@radio.cz. And if Czech beer really means nothing to you, don't despair, because we'll also run small monthly contests in which we ask about famous people of Czech descent. Each month, the winner of this competition receives a CD of Czech music. Good luck. And it's time now for the arts with Martin Mikula.
In today's arts, we visit a café, not just an ordinary one, but a special café designed in a cubist style, which has reopened in Prague after a very, very long time. And after that cup of coffee, in the second part of the feature, you will hear something about the celebrations that Prague is preparing in commemoration of the 250th anniversary of Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart's birth. Like Vienna and Budapest, Prague also was once famous for its café culture. The coffee house tradition, which was interrupted by the communist regime, has today a number of followers. To the list of famous cafés that were re-established in the 90s, like Václav Havel's old hangout Café Slavia, has now been added another one, the famous Cubist Grand Café Orient on the first floor of the House of the Black Madonna. Even though Cubism as an art form was born in France and spread around the world, the Czech lands were the only place where Cubism was applied also in architecture. The House of the Black Madonna, built by Josef Kočár in 1912, is one of the most distinguished examples of this style, says the current owner of the Grand Café Orient, Rudolf Břinek.
Tenhle dům je úžasný tím, že zapadá I do toho prostředí toho starého města. Navíc jako jeden
It is amazing how the house fits to the old town environment. Apart from that, the house was unique also because of its cubist interiors, namely in the Grand Café Orient. The café was opened in 1912 together with the house, which was originally a department store, but cubism became soon unfashionable and the café disappeared already in the 1920s. It actually wasn't very successful. It never became a real mecca for artists. But on the other hand, it did become very famous due to its cubist design, and today you can find pictures of it in every encyclopedia of architecture.
Pohled do té kavárny, tak ten je známý všude, že jo? Ten je v každý učebnici architektury, v každý encyklopedii architektury je pohled na tuto jedinečnou kavárnu tím, že byla kubistická.
The space of the café was gradually turned into offices, and in a similar way the rest of the building later also changed. In the 1990s it underwent a sensitive renovation which returned most of the building to its original style. Since then the House of the Black Madonna has been hosting expositions dedicated to Czech Cubism. But the idea to re-establish the original café was realized only recently. Rudolf Břinek again.
Ve 20. letech ta kavárna v první polovině 20. let byla zrušena. Tak se zachovalo pět fotografií.
From the 1920s we found five photographs depicting the original café and two sketches by the architect Kočár, a sketch of a lamp and a bar. So we tried to restore the café according to the original design. We hired a special company which produces replicas of cubist objects, for example, coat racks and ceramics, and they made the furniture for us.
Jsou to věšáky, ať jsou to různé porcelánové věci, no a ti nám to vlastně dělali.
The cafe manager Renata Hendrichová says she regretted that there were so few traditional cafes left in Prague and wanted to fill the gap.
Our vision was to open new coffee places where people could meet, business people could have meetings, ladies could talk. What we want to offer to our customers, traditional Czech cookies, desserts, pancakes, sandwiches.
But apart from various delicacies and all sorts of coffee, the cafe also plans to host cultural events.
Our plan is every Friday or Saturday play live music or piano or invite some group musician to play.
Do you have any favorite place where you like to sit or any particular favorite components in the interior?
Because I assist during the building of this cafe and I touch lot of objects here, I have my own personal feeling for this coffee, and I prefer sitting on the balcony, enjoy the coffee.
So if you are in Prague and desperate for a cup of coffee or would like to see some cubist art, you can find both at the House of the Black Madonna, just a few steps from the Old Town Square and the Theater of Estates. And that brings us to the second topic of today's arts. The Theater of Estates, or Stavovské divadlo, is the last existing theater where Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart featured his operas. Mozart lived in Prague for some time and composed a number of pieces here, such as the Prague Symphony and the opera Don Giovanni. The city is proud of the heritage of the great composer, and since next year is the 250th anniversary of Mozart's birth, Prague is already now planning great celebrations. The director of the Mozart Praha 2006 project, Jiří Hubač, says that even though Mozart's birthday is on January 27th, musical and other events associated with the anniversary will be organized all year round.
Hlavní stěžejní den bude samozřejmě 27. ledna ve Stavovském divadle bude slavnostní koncert.
The 27th of January will of course be the main day. There will be a festive concert at the Theater of Estates. I suppose it will be offered to the whole world through the EBU TV network. We plan a number of other exceptional concerts throughout the whole year, but there will also be different exhibitions, such as Mozart and the Theater of the Estates. We are also planning to bring part of a Viennese exhibition to Prague, which could be in November and December, exhibited in the municipal house.
Ta část této výstavy mohla být vystavena v obecním domě.
But moving a part of the Viennese exhibition to Prague is not the only event at which these two Mozart cities cooperate. Franz Patay, director of the Viennese Mozart's Year.
The city of Vienna and the city of Prague want to work on sustainable projects that are not only working in the year 2006, but also in the years to come. I mean, one project that is already confirmed is a big TV project, 24 Hours of Mozart. This is a TV project that will travel around the globe, starting in Japan, coming then to Europe. And in this big TV project, where 24 hours, the whole world will be able to receive Mozart music programs, we are working together with Prague and, of course, with Salzburg and other cities to coordinate this big event.
The Mozart celebrations in Prague will be accompanied by all kind of musical institutions, orchestras, theatres, museums, and the famous Czech Philharmonic Orchestra will be no exception, says its director Václav Riedelbauch.
We prepare a very special concert with Manfred Honeck, Austrian conductor. He's very famous here in Prague also, as one demonstration of this continuity of Austrian empire, because Mozart belongs to Prague, and Czech Republic belongs for the cultural region, I have to say. And we prepare a special program with Prague composition by Mozart. It's Prague Symphony, Clarinet Concerto, because it was played also during Mozart visit in Prague.
And not only big concert halls and theaters, but also streets, parks, and other public places will be full of events celebrating the anniversary. So if you are a fan of Mozart's music, don't forget to put Visit of Prague into your next year agenda.
And that's all from the Radio Prague English Language Service. Don't forget that we also have a very useful website at www.radio.cz/English, where you'll find more information on the Czech Republic as well as info on our competition. My name is Dieter Asiedu. Thanks for joining us. Take care.